Glory to God. We're continuing with our series on the believer's authority. Ephesians in chapter 1, one more time. The believer's authority. Ephesians and chapter 1. One of the things we repeated in this series that is so crucial for us never to forget is the fact that the believer's authority is important and it is what? Necessary. Say with me, it's important and it's necessary. In this world, the authority is important and it is necessary. All right. So, Ephesians in chapter 1, from verse 15 now, it says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Again, Paul, by the Spirit of God, calls our attention to this beautiful understanding that we need to have about the new creation. He says, "In the light of what Christ has done, I cease not to give thanks for you." So again, Paul says, when you want to approach a believer, don't approach in prayer from the condition or situation that believer is facing. Always approach from what the Father has done. It's so important. You see, sense knowledge kills faith. Sense knowledge, when taken too far, when taken to place of prayer, will always kill faith. Okay? The reason why we have situational praying in the church is because people have not embraced the revelation of the scriptures. The minute you don't have the revelation of the scriptures, you will delve into situational praying. What situation? I'm praying based on how I feel. I'm being praised on the way things appear to me. I'm praying based on what people have suggested to me. Okay, and again, that's the reason why we have so many unscriptural prayer points, like generational curses. Okay, like haunting spirits in your father's house. Okay, same service where you claim God to be your father. So is God haunted? You know, sometimes you really wonder whether are people really leading to it. That Paul is saying, from the day we heard of it, we cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in our prayers. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. Again, none of the descriptive terminologies in the Pauline epistle is to be taken for granted. Each of those terminologies is meant to communicate a truth to us. We cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in our prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, that's a transaction, the Father of glory. So the God who accomplished everything I wrote to you from verse 3 all the way down through the Lord Jesus Christ, and the summary of that accomplishment is that he is not the Father of glory, may give unto you spiritual wisdom, which is what? Revelation in the knowledge of him. So he's saying, what needs to be done? The hard part, the difficult part, has been accomplished by the Father in Christ Jesus. Your responsibility is to know. The difficult part has been accomplished. Your responsibility is to know. Now, again, why is the prayer part needed? It's because the knowledge he's talking about here is not pedestrian knowledge. He's talking about epignosis. Precise knowledge. Accurate facts. So as we go on, when you hear the eyes of your understanding. So let's put it this way, in plain English. How you see things. How you perceive things. Your consciousness. You know, everything we do in our journey, when it comes to our work with God now, is a function of how renewed your mind is. How renewed your mind is. Somebody will see a black cat and wonder whose pet is missing. Another person will see a black cat filling a blank space. And somebody else will hear a bird making noise in the night and think it's a nuisance. Another person will hear the same bird and do a vigil. The bird and the noise is not the problem. Interpretation is the problem. Why is this cat crying around my house at 2 a.m.? African magic. the eyes with which you used to see things, it must be enlightened. Because there's so much power backing you up. Enough power to vaporize every work of darkness at any point in time. Because their headquarters was shattered. Their master was defeated. And the proof of the defeat is that you are alive today. That's the proof of the defeat. Look at Colossians chapter 2. And verse 13. Let's read from verse 9. Colossians 2 from verse 9. For in him, oh glory to God. Oh, Kelebos, I've gotten to my bus stop. I've gotten the place of rest and peace. I've gotten the place where there's no fear. I've gotten the place where confidence is mine at all times. I've gotten to the best of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I'm in him, is in me. Fullness is here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Nothing can be added, nothing can be removed. Fullness is here. Hallelujah. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So from Genesis to Malachi, if there's a work of God that you have seen, the fullness is in him. If there's a miracle you have seen, the fullness is in him. If there's a mighty act that you have seen, the fullness is in him. Bodily. Bodily. So, the book of Judges, mighty acts were recorded. The fullness is in him. None of them saw fullness. They each saw a face, a part, a portion, but the fullness is in him. Hallelujah. Moses did not see fullness. He spoke of fullness, but the fullness is in him. But that's not where he's going. Look at the next verse. And you. Oh, cool. Surely he has delivered you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence, from the arrow that flies by day. Hallelujah. And you are complete in him, who is the one head of all principality and power. When you are passing by, fear should catch them. Your very presence elicits reverence. That's headship going. There's nothing we're doing here that is not master of. Do you know what that means? That's headship. And you are complete in him, who is the head, the source, the one ranked above all principality and power. If there's a principality or power, he's above. He's the head. And you are complete in him. That means the headship finds expression through you. They don't need to see him. When they want to see him, they just see you. In seeing you, they have seen him. The same paralyzing effect his presence has over works of darkness. That same effect your presence has over works of darkness. Where's the difference? Your mind. The eye with which you used to see things must change. It must change. But look at what it is. Look, let's go on. See what it says. It says, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sins, that's the work of the Spirit, that in the Spirit you were circumcised, or in the Spirit anything that has to do with sin was removed from you. In the process of that removal, you were reborn. Now look at what it says. Look at the next verse, verse 12. Buried with him, we want in baptism, wherein also you are what? Reason with him through the faithfulness of the operation. When you hear the word faith there, is a faithful operation of God. Who what? Raised him from the dead. Look at the next verse. It says, and you, being dead in your sins and circumcision of the flesh, as he what? Quickened together with him, having what? Forgiving you. Now, here's where the trick sometimes is. You have to read properly. Which one took place? The quickening or the forgiving? The quickening or the forgiving? I tricked you. How did I trick you? Because of where I asked the question. Because the quickening is the forgiving. The word quickening means made alive. He just told you you were dead. So to be made alive means you are forgiven. You see, again, remember how we've been studying the scriptures. Forgiveness is bigger than pardon. Your mind is still in English. You are saying, brother, your sins are forgiven. You are thinking of whatever I've done. That is not the language of the epistles. When it says your sins are forgiven, it's simply saying you are a new creation. It's not about deeds that you did. It's about a nature given and received. Not the same thing. So the word used that covers that phrase, forgiveness of sins, is the same thing as new creature in Christ Jesus. So we often mixed up with pardon. The pardon is included, but this is bigger than a pardon. A pardon means whatever you have ever done wrong can be taken care of, but your nature remains untouched. That's the state the Old Testament saints were in, why they still needed a savior. So by faith in the blood of Jesus, which was yet to be shed, they believed and were justified by faith. That means they were pardoned for all their transgressions, but their nature remained the same. The Bible says, they without us could not be made perfect. What were they waiting for? Perfection. What's perfection? Forgiveness of sins. Is it clear now? As a matter of fact, forgiveness of sins is a weapon. It's a weapon. It's not just a confession. It's a weapon. It's a weapon against every negative mindset. A weapon against every attack of the enemy. When the enemy comes like a thief in the night, and it comes to spread lies. The revelation of forgiveness of sins makes you laugh at his antics. You know he's joking. So, you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, as he what? Made alive together with him. That is, he has forgiven you what? All trespasses. Look at the next verse. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, doing what? Nailing it to his cross. These are all figures of speech. It's not like Jesus went there and just said, bring me the list of all the things he has ever done. How many things? 754,000. Only you. There will be no space on that cross. If the cross is a wooden cross. So the cross here can't be a wooden cross. The cross here is a symbolic of a sacrifice. That means in a sacrifice, he blotted out. It means he wiped out of existence anything that has to do with wrongdoing where you are concerned. That's what he's talking about. So, see what this is. Look at the next verse. This is where we're going. And having what? Spoiled. Paralyzed. Rendered useless. All persuasion powers, he made a what? Public show of them, openly doing what? Triumphing over them in it. Notice, until this time, he didn't mention principalities and powers. The last time you saw principalities and powers was in verse 10. What has he been talking about? The person that was redeemed, the person that was saved, the person that was forgiven, the person that was quickened. So when you get to verse 13, having spoiled, or the proof that principalities and powers have been defeated, is that he put on a public display of his victory over them, and that public display is you. Okay, now you're getting now. Are you with me tonight? The public display of proof. You know, when you go, when the World Cup, for instance, now, I'm not a football fanatic, but then at least I hear one or two things. So, which country won the World Cup? You cannot forget in the early. Okay, now, they took the trophy home. Then they went through their own city in a triumphant procession. The trophy they were carrying up and down was a symbol of the victory, but the trophy is not the victory. The victory belongs to the whole country. Yet, the whole country did not play. You know, it's interesting how you can use natural. The whole country, an Argentina who never wore a jersey, is shouting, we won. How is it we? And it's very interesting. When they lose, they will say, we lost. Ah! Those boys lost. But when they win, we won. We won. All of us won. So, as they were dancing in the streets, the whole of Argentina danced and rejoiced. It was called a triumphant procession. The trophy being a symbol of what they won. So anybody that hears who won the World Cup, they will mention Argentina. Where's proof? We have the cup. This is the cup. Yeah, the cup itself is not the victory. It's a symbol of the victory. So Christ put you on display as proof that he has won. In other words, since you were previously a captive of the enemy, he took away from him the armor wherein he trusted. Then he displayed proof that he has won, because the enemy's hold over you was broken. If that old remained, then there's no proof that he has won. Since the old is broken, he now brought you forth. So as you are marching and you are trampling walls of darkness, Christ is saying, can you say I won? 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 Now, this is why our authority is important, not just as a trophy to keep, as something to exercise. It must be exercised. So Paul is praying for epignosis, precise knowledge, complete understanding, not a casual knowledge that will make it almost impossible for you to walk in the reality of it. So, notice, openly triumphing over them. So go back to Ephesians 1 now. When verse 18, I believe. So, verse 18. The eyes with which you understand, being flooded with light, that you may what? Know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of what? Inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to what? The working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. So we've looked at the words that were used to describe power that was released when Christ was raised from the dead. We said, theologians agree, you will not find any other passage, both in the Old and the New Testament, where such words or adjectives were used to describe God's power. The power that was released. The power that is backing you up. The power that effectually worketh in you that believe. Now, look at the next verse. That's where we're going. Which wrought in him when he was, and set him where? At his own right hand. Where? In the heavenlies. What place is that? He says, far what? Above. Now, again, remember, we allow Bible words to define Bible words. The word above has nothing to do with height. It has everything to do with rank. The highest title in the military, for now, is Field Marshal. We don't know if they will create another later. But there are generals, the lieutenant generals, am I right? They're making generals, isn't it? And other rankings. But the highest for now is Field Marshal, and there are very few of them in the world. Field Marshal, that's the highest ranking now. So now, in the military, rank is recognized. When it says far above, it's not speaking about a height. Because the people who walk in the far above are walking up and down the earth. The same when it says in the heavenlies, don't think about height. Think about status and reality. Think about placement spiritually. So he uses spiritual terms to describe spiritual realities. When he says far above, simply means in rank, there is no higher rank than this. So every spirit being has a rank. He now says the one that is ranked above them all, and it's not just above, is far above. That's an excessive use of language. That is, when we want to use human language, we say is above them all. But really, that above looks too casual. The distance is much. You cannot, there is no bridging that distance. Because he is still God also, who became a man. So if you want to do comparison, we will say above. But really, what we are saying is one far. That means the distance cannot be covered. The rank is so eternal, it was never meant to be temporary. It's meant to be forever. So the conquest forever, the victory forever, the authority behind it is forever. Let me say it this way. At no point in time will the enemy ever get stronger than you, because your status in Christ is forever. Can you be weak with respect to your experience? Yes. Can you be weak in the reality of who you really are? No. That's why Ephesians 6:10, when Paul is summarizing everything he wrote, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, that is what? In the power of his might. This is what he has accomplished. This is what he has released. This is what he has made available. Now, when you are taking a stand, you are not called to stand based on how you feel. You are not called to stand in yourself. You are not called to stand in how well you have done. You are called to stand in what he has accomplished. As a matter of fact, if you don't stand there, he won't stand there, because he doesn't need to stand there. He did it and obtained it strictly for you. So if I don't exercise my authority, the victory of Christ will not be seen. Okay. Maybe I've never thought about it that way. It's a responsibility. If I do not exercise my authority, the victory of Christ will not be seen, at least among men. It won't be seen. It has to be seen among men, it must be demonstrated among men. The victory of Christ will be seen because I take responsibility by exercising my authority. Glory to God. Can you see that? So, let's be done. It says, I want to see one of the things. It says, give me to be the, you know, he has put what? All things under what? His feet. Again, figure of speech. And gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. So when I mention his feet, I mean his body. I mean his constitution. Now, when you say head and body, again, that goes beyond human language. Because when you say head and body, people say things like, you know, we've done that explanation before. Okay, can the head act outside the body? Well, physically speaking, the head cannot act outside the body. The body cannot act outside the head. But spiritually speaking, when it says head and body, it's like the head is unseen. But the body is the seen part of the head. Who is the head? Christ. Can you see him? No. How do you see him? You see the body. So the body is the constitution that expresses the unseen one. That's what body means. Body doesn't mean hand, leg, liver. That way, which part are you? Kidney? Which one? Bladder? Urethra? That's which part you are. So, body means constitution. Let me say it another way. Remember Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, brethren, by what? The message that you present what? That's not your hands and legs. That's present you. That's your constitution. It's not saying present your bodies, not talking about your physical members. No. It's talking about your constitution. Constitution means your whole consciousness, your spirit, every part of you. Is what it says, present your body. So, body there means your constitution, which means includes your will to serve divine purpose. That's what he's talking about. He's not talking about physical body first. And it says, to make that a reality, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, I mean, the perfect will of God. So, when it says, he gave him to be the head over all things to the body, and the body is the fullness of him. So, we're seeing when he rose, exceeding greatness of power was released. That greatness of power is designed to function, to be exercised through his constitution, which is his body. Because when he rose, he didn't rise alone. He rose with a triumphant procession, which is his body. So all the authority that he has as the head is meant to be seen in the body. Hallelujah. You can say it this way: if he had the authority and there was no body, there would be no use for the authority. Because the authority must be exercised in the seen realm, even the authority is unseen. Let me say it again. The authority is not physical authority, it's not natural authority, it's spiritual authority, coupled with power. So, I stay here in Nigeria, I speak to a spirit in Sweden, and the spirit recognizes headship and obeys. What can defeat me? Lack of epignosis. I'm thinking, okay, when you come, sir, so you are thinking naturally that until that person, your cousin, comes down to Nigeria, when you now pray, but they just told you it's a demonic problem. And there's no distance, so to speak, in that realm. So at the sound of your voice, or at the sound of the master's voice through your voice, the demon hears and knows he has to obey. Now, the same way, you know, I usually use this illustration. How many of you, you are taking a cup of water and you poured it out and you stayed to check whether the water went out? I just want to be sure that the water poured out of the cup. No. If water does not pour out, you will drop the cup quickly first. You will not say, it's one of those things. It's like some, you jumped up, you didn't come down and say, it's one of those things. No, it can't be. It cannot be one of those things. We want to know why law of gravity is suspended. Abi? So, now, the same principle also. When you speak, the understanding comes before you speak. Understanding doesn't bring authority. Understanding exercises authority. Authority was brought by what Christ wrought. Understanding is used to express what has already been wrought. That means without understanding, what has been wrought has been wrought. It doesn't change it. Only you are not walking in it. I think I shared with us that early 90s, walking in Christian faith, I was always afraid in the night. All kinds of dreams. Pressing down. Chasing me. Things were chasing me. I fasted. Because, you know, prayer is the key. Prayer is the key. Prayer is the master key. You can pray with an empty head and complicate matters. You can. So, I did not get better fast. Because as though after I prayed, your pressure increased. No, it's supposed to be going down. And I began to get in contact with some materials and began to see. What was happening? The eyes with which I see needed to change. I needed to see myself differently. All I could see, they are powerful and weak. What did I begin to seek? Are more powerful. They are defeated. What happened on the inside of me? They did not change. I changed. What I didn't know came into my consciousness. So I saw myself differently. And the way I was seeing myself was the way I always was. But that wasn't the way my consciousness saw myself. Listen, let me use it as an illustration. Even in the natural world, it has been discovered that we grow in phases. Initially, when you are going up in the business world and 10 million enters your account, you will not be stable. You'll be shaking. You'll not be able to eat well. Your behavior outside will be erratic because of the money. Then when you grow beyond that level, it becomes like amateurs. You understand? But somebody else, their level is 100 million. When you see 100 million, you may not come to church for 2 weeks. But Titus, what's going on? God has done it. God has done it. Now, that 100 million is 10% of what some people pay as tithe. So, what is your problem? Your consciousness. Something is happening. You are restless. Because your consciousness can't undo. So, your mind now needs to be renewed to that level. Now, when I say renewed now, automatically, with that level of wealth and affluence, you will just discover that you have no taste for certain things. You understand? Now, taking a cab every day to work for 22 days in a month, at the rate of 10K per day, you said among your folks, also this wastage, but with 15 million per month, is beneath you to enter us. Because everything we just calculated now is then at 30,000. Your income is 50. I hope you understand. What's happening to you? Your mind is being renewed. Before, you were not comfortable inside the cab. Suddenly, because a single salary can buy a car comfortably. Just 1 month, you can. So, something happens on the inside. You just get enlarged. You just start changing. You understand what I'm saying? You just start. So, the change is going on. You are growing. It's not the money. It is you. As adjusting on the inside. The same thing happens. There's a largesse in God. There's a wildness that comes into your heart when you glimpse the authority that Christ has given to us. The way you will act, the way you will conduct yourself, the way you will behave, the way you will speak, will just start changing. Even in prayer, you stop being beggarly. You are accepted in the beloved. It is me and the Father doing this thing together. You're no longer God. If only you can hear me, no, He has heard me. It's now you and God getting the work done. There's a difference. So something happens. The eyes with which you used to see changes. So I'm praying for my child that they see. I'm not appealing to God. Who is more faithful than I am? I'm taking authority. I rebuke this fever. I rebuke this sickness. In the name of Jesus, be gone. I don't check to see. I start giving God praise. Now, there's a consciousness that makes you speak. That is at the back of your speaking. That allows the authority to find expression. It's not guesswork. It's not, I shall hope it works. So, at the level I hope it works, it's not epignosis yet. Hallelujah. It's not epignosis yet. It is epignosis when you're saying what you know to be true. This is it. In 7 days, you hear good news. I'm not praying. I'm saying that's what epignosis does to you. The eyes with which you used to see. So, whatever you are seeing has been there. It has been wrought. It has been worked. It has been accomplished. You are the one who is now seeing it. Not only seeing it, you are seeing yourself in it. And you are seeing what that thing means with respect to you. Let's go back to that place. He gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is what his body, the fullness of him that does what? Fills all and is in all. So all that power, exceeding greatness, megatos, ubabalo, kratos, iskos, energy, all those things, the fullness of him fills you. And the authority is in that headship. And there's nothing ranked higher than he. Nothing. And no one ranked higher than him. And you are completing him. Hallelujah. And you are completing him. Now, what I'm saying to you tonight, if you hear a particular situation is demonic in origin, you should rejoice. Because as a master, you are here. See, there are a lot of movies that the intellect of men is behind it. But there are also a lot of movies, the influence of demons is behind it. Usually those movies they used to do in the early 90s that they call Christian films. They're not Christian at all. Because I don't know, in those movies, Christians are always defeated. And then the most terrible part is that you see somebody, you know, who turned to Christ and then is suffering, 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 suffering. Finally, he made it. He was sick. They prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, 6 months, finally. Is it not the money that it took 6 months? But when Amadioa comes, the evil is one time. What do you think they're trying to say? That God is slow. But Satan is fast. What's happening to your consciousness? God will come through, but he is slow. He doesn't do instant. Your mind is being affected. So unconsciously, they are programming you for long suffering. That is not scriptural. That God always comes late. If I want you to suffer for Christ, and sickness is not part of it. And yet the Bible says, our God and then Jesus of Nazareth. We look good to power. We went about doing good. Healing all. For God was with him. The Bible says, with his word, he cast out devils. With his word. He didn't say, come back next week. It was instant. So you can see some of those movies, the minds of the individuals who did it have been affected over time. And they are putting it out. And believers are watching because in the name of Christian movie, and there's nothing Christianly about it. Wrong culture. Exceeding greatness. Hallelujah. The fullness of him that fills all in all. How about showing us a movie where a believer went to a shrine and all the demons ran away? How about showing us a movie that by the presence of a believer there, idol worship ceased? That's it. No. We say team attacked. They are now fasting for the God of heaven. Who sent them to deliver them? And something is wrong with the picture. The eyes with which you used to see, that's where the challenge is. Must be flooded with light. So look at Ephesians 2. Look at verse 5. I want to explain this. He has put all things on them and given to be the head. Ephesians 2, look at verse 5. For when we were dead in sins, he has won, quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Next verse. Notice what together. And has won, raised us up together, and made us what? Sit together. What is common in those two verses? Together, 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 together. The word together there in the Greek actually means same in kind, same with experience. Same in kind, same in experience. That means his experience is not different from your own. When he died, you died. When he came alive, you came alive. When he rose, you also rose. So in rising, when he stripped up principalities, you also stripped them off. When he made them in open combat, you also defeated them in open combat. Hallelujah. So the word together there simply means the activity, it was recorded that it occurred for you at the same time. So if he's a master, together, you're also a master. Hallelujah. You're also a master. That's what it means. So the language, again, and that's why throughout all the epistles, you will not find one single place where a believer is asked to pray for God to intervene when it comes to demons. No. No. In Acts chapter 16, when that woman, the spirit of divination, was following Paul around, he was this several days until one day Paul just turned around and looked at her and said, "Come out of her, you spirit." And that was it. Paul didn't pray. It was a command. Come out of her. And that spirit was gone forever. Paul walked in so much power and so much authority that from his body was taking handkerchiefs and what? Aprons. And evil spirits went over them, and diseases what departed from them. Evil spirits went over them. So that means the aprons and handkerchiefs taken from the body carry the same authority as though Paul was physically there. That was the kind of power that was there also. And evil spirits were living. What do you think was at work? Exceeding greatness of what? God's power. The same that will happen when Paul is present, the same thing was happening with things that came in contact with his body, according to that power. That means that authority can be transferred and sent on a mission. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It can be sent on a mission. So you will not find any single passage where a believer is asked to pray for God to rebuke the devil. No. He says, you were quickened together, you were raised together, you were made to sit what? Together where? In the heavens. You were made to sit, you were raised far above. That means higher in rank, superior in authority. James chapter 4, verse 5. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwells in us lusts to heaven? For he giveth more grace. Wherefore he said, God what? Resist the proud, but giveth what? Grace to the humble. Now notice, wherefore he said. So he's quoting. Say amen. James is quoting a scripture. He's applied, don't fear. Wherefore he said, that means he's quoting a scripture. So this scripture was meant to be a prophecy, which is now fulfilled. So when you're reading it, don't say, God will just come and stand and resist you when you are proud. Well, the operations of God, the way they function, will automatically resist anyone who doesn't submit to it. So it's not that God is looking at me, if you are proud, I will resist you. No, he's actually telling you that if you position, because to be proud means there's a position you're taking against God's word. To be humble means there's a position you're taking of water towards God's word. So to be humble means I submit. To be proud means I oppose. Remember, this is, who is speaking here? James. The same James told us in chapter 1. He says, receive with meekness the implanted word. What's our word for meekness? What's our word for meekness? Humility. Receive with meekness. He already told you, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of notness. In this verse, you can call it pride. And receive with meekness. So every other previous argument and that you had, laid aside and embrace this one. And in embracing this word, you call it meekness. The engrafted one is able to save your soul. He now says to you, God resists the proud. He gives grace to what? The humble. Look at next verse. Submit yourselves therefore to what? God. Or be humble. Resist the devil. Or confront the devil. Or oppose the devil. What will happen? Now, remember what you are reading is sanctified by the blood. He's not telling you what might happen. He's telling you what will happen because of what God has done. Now, you, a man, resist the devil, and this is the outcome of your resisting. He will what? Flee. That is, confront him. Now, as simple as that is, do you know a lot of believers are afraid to confront the devil? What's the problem? The eyes with which you see, understand. Confront him. Let me just manage myself like this until Jesus comes. No, he says resist. That means confront, oppose, stand against. That means take your stand. If it is your right, it's your right. Now, the same way people will fight and hold their ground over natural things. Somebody walks up to you, that's my phone. You first laugh. Are you drunk? The way you will fight over your phone, I wish you can fight over your faith like that. None of us will let go of our phone. You say, I'll follow you anywhere. There's nothing. The way you phone, no, they are going to change in the next 1 year or so. But you wish, it's my phone. If you fight for your faith like that against works of darkness, you will experience defeat less often. Notice what it says, you resist the devil, not God. You resist the devil, and we what? We flee from you. Ephesians 4, verse 27. We're looking at scriptures that command, that instruct us, and look at what those scriptures are saying. None of those scriptures suggest. Ephesians 4. Don't give the devil that kind of foothold where in your life. Look at King James. Neither give place. Of course, when he says neither, that means there was something I said before, isn't it? So, neither give place. Is that not interesting? You are the one that authorizes the devil in your life. Don't give room. Don't give place. What does that mean? It cannot just come in and ride roughshod over you. That means you can determine the boundaries of his operation. You can say no, so far, and no more. You can determine. This is the truth of the scripture. This is what Christ has done. With respect to you, not for others, but for respect to you, who is in Christ, who is in the vision that Christ has wrought, he says, neither give place. That means you are the one, through the work of the flesh, I can give place to the devil and can give room for the enemy to walk. So neither give place to what? The devil. Say, I have authority over the devil, over every work of darkness. I can exercise my authority and I can command the enemy to stop in his operations, to desist in maneuvers concerning me and concerning others. Yes, you have the right to do so. You are a fearful spirit in the realm of the spirit. You have mastery. Say, I have mastery. I'm complete in him who is the head. And as the head, I say to this one, go, and he goes. I say to this one, stop, and he stops. Hallelujah. Authority comes by speaking. Authority is exercised by what? Speaking. Neither give place. That shows you that the enemy cannot just come anytime he wants to. Again, our experiences, the challenges we face in life, have unconsciously, so to speak, affected our thinking such that we're not thinking scripturally, we're not thinking like the scriptures. No. It says, don't give place. Don't give room. And it's suggesting through the work of the flesh, you can give room. You just finished speaking about anger. Don't give place. Be not angry, that is, don't sin. Don't give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. He's talking about not giving. So don't give him a foothold. Don't give him a place to exercise anything around you. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians 2 verse 11. See what it says. Lest Satan should what? Get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his what? Oh, what are devices? Tricks, machinations. Lest. So it says Satan is looking for an entry point. He just can't come in. He just can't come and oppress anyhow. He's looking for an entry point. He's looking for a way to take advantage. Why? You obviously must have the advantage. There is no way I can be looking for advantage if you don't already have advantage. So it means if you're secure, you're sound, you're established on the right footing, the only way I can get to is look for what? An entry point or an advantage where you're concerned. It says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not what? Ignorant of his tricks. We know the way it functions. We know the way it operates. So all the scriptures are suggesting one thing. The believer has authority that he has to use intelligently over works of darkness. None of those scriptures suggest that we ask God to do anything about the devil. And I shared with us the testimony of Kenny again. Was it last week? About that demon that came in between him and the Lord when it comes to a vision. He was shocked. It was so mind-blowing that Jesus said, if he hadn't done that, I would not be able to do anything about it. That doesn't look like how we see God or how we see authority. We feel there's nothing that God cannot counter. No. There's nothing he cannot counter through us. That's the part that we fail to recognize. Through us. We're the ones on earth. We're the ones who confront. We're the ones who have the experiences. Satan has never walked up to God and said, I'm going to slap you. You know, that's why that theology, you know that theology that people say that Satan took a third of the angels of heaven and now tried to rebel against God, is very foolish. You want to rebel against God. You want to do coup in heaven. I don't understand. And you just claim that God is all-knowing. You say God is all-knowing. And you establish a theology on one verse of scripture. How can that be Bible doctrine? And it's on one verse. And yet, out of matter of two or three. And you didn't see it any other place. And a thought of the... That's, you just said a thought. So if there's a thought, what other half is left? And yet, from Genesis all the way to Jude, you didn't have see anywhere where it's written that Satan, they were fighting. In fact, and the dragon fought and Michael fought. That means God was just like, somebody says, you see, the dragon fought and Michael and his angels. Why? It's an angelic fight. Doesn't concern God. I mean, so the idea that God can be overthrown is very funny. that they can fight. No. No, no. It doesn't make any sense. As we study scriptures thoroughly, we begin to see man's authority. Daniel did 21 days fast. And in 21 days, it was revealed to him that the answer came first day. That's God's side. God answered speedily. Why was he waiting the next 20 days? It was because a demonic being who was using the authority of the king of that land was standing against the angel that was meant to get the answer through. But by Daniel continuing to pray, other angels came to assist that angel to get the message through. So really, who was really in charge? The man praying. And this man was not a new creation. Otherwise, it would not have taken 21 days. Oh, you didn't hear what I said. Okay, so you are getting it now. The man was on the earth. The battle was in the unseen. And the man's prayer was controlling what was happening. So, does it make sense to think any of those things can just walk up to God? Hey, you. Has he even seen God before? Now you come and say, so when you see, you hear some things, and you just think a little bit that this doesn't like look like it makes sense. And they overcame him. Not by Michael's force, but the blood of the Lamb. That is the word of their testimony. And they loved on their lives. So how did they overcome him? It wasn't the angelic battle. It was by the blood of the Lamb. And when you hear blood, figures which were by his resurrection. And the word of their what? Testimony. Hallelujah. Don't let those panoramic pictures take your attention away from the truth of the scriptures. We have authority over the devil. Hallelujah. He's under our feet. He's under our feet. I said, he's under our feet. He's under your feet. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 5. Glory to God. We trample over works of darkness. Glory to God. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be. That sounds like the language of the other texts. Neither give place. We're not ignorant of devices. Now he says what? Be sober, be vigilant. For your goes about like what? Seeking whom he may. So he has to seek. Does that mean that he doesn't have right to divulge just anybody? He's looking for him. Whom resist thou? Steadfast in what Christ has done. That's what steadfast in the faith means. Steadfast in what Christ has done. So next time you wake up from a strange dream, what should you do? Laugh. Change position. Don't pray. Don't pray. Because you can pray out of fear. That's the problem. You see, the eyes in which you see, that's the way. Because the reason why you want to react is your interpretation. Why do you want to pray? May God, may it not happen. May it not happen. No, you are seated. Imagine Christ saying that, may I not have accident? You know, you cannot imagine Christ saying like, I just had a dream. I'll have accident tomorrow. So who will Christ go to now? No, who will Christ go to? Baba God. Don't let me have accident. You know, it doesn't make any sense. And you are completing him. Who is the head? I mean, God proved his mastery by allowing the enemy, using men, to do his worst. Knowing he was doing his worst, and God was playing along to show his wisdom is superior to the best that the enemy can throw. That while he was doing his worst, God was planning his best. God, as he was doing it, God was planning his best. And the same drama is being replayed in our lives today. So they took Paul, arrested, flogged, put in prison. We have stopped him. The revival started where they put him. In prison. How we know? Had we known, we'll have left him on the street. To start church would be more difficult there. He has started church inside prison. All the prisoners are the converts of the church. Leave this man alone. Had they known, glory to God, they would not have come. That's our destiny. Hallelujah. Because there's enough power to turn every situation around. Glory to God. Be smart, vigilant, your adversary devil as a running lion, walking about, seeking woman more. Womb resist how? Steadfast in what Christ has done. Thus far, no further. In the name of Jesus, stop your operations now. This is your maneuvers. No more. You tell him, don't come to this place again. My dream life is my dream life. It's my dream, it's not your dream. It's my dream. You are trespassing. Trespassers shall be prosecuted. Don't come here again. It's my dream. What do you do? Get up. Laugh. Change the actors. You are not the director. Direct the dream now. As I'm going to dream now, these are the things that are going to happen inside the dream. I'm going to dream I'm now in a new car. I've just been promoted. That dream of, hey, they're chasing me. Yeah, that's over. That's all of him. We don't want that one again. Now that you get up and say, oh God, ah, hey, beginning of the year. What kind of thing is this? You're already succumbing. You are making yourself a victim, even though you're a victor. More than a conqueror. Through him that has what? Loved you. Say he loves me. Hallelujah. And he made enough provision. Not just enough, exceeding greatness. Over and above what is necessary was given to you to exercise. And we do it primarily by what? By speaking. Yes, we use it in prayer also, but primarily by speaking. You stand your ground. I always tell people, when the enemy comes in a dream, and you woke up, and you know, when believers want to testify, very funny. Pastor, I saw in a dream, it's like my enemy died. You know what they are saying? I pray along. She means your enemy that died. It's okay. No, Pastor, what I mean is that speaking Christianese. Pastor, no, what I mean is that it's not me, but he just said that he says your enemy that it's not me, but it's like I'm just thinking that. And I just tell him, we're not ignorant of these devices. What are you seeing in the dream? What Satan wishes will happen that can never happen? Is, you know when you say wishful thinking? It's just fantasizing. You now happen to pick up the fantasy. Oh, this is what you're thinking. It's too late. I'm alive in him. I'm alive in him. This cannot happen. My mother is safe. My children are safe. My husband is safe. My wife is safe. My people are blessed. It's too late. All this, it cannot happen. You're only thinking it can never happen. You cannot go beyond torture them. Why? He's telling you what he wishes will happen. That's what he's trying to show you. He's hoping you will buy the movie. Reject the script. Just laugh. And say, I've come again. Stay inside and laugh and just go to bed and sleep. Don't pray one lick of prayer. That's not the time to pray. If it happened at 5 a.m. in the morning, you should wake up at 5. You refuse to wake up at 5, go back to bed, sleep for 1 hour. Yes, because of this, I will now sleep to 6 o'clock. To show you that it's nothing. Nothing plus nothing means nothing. Nothing times nothing equals nothing. What did you give praise to God? Hallelujah. He delivered us from so great a debt. He does deliver. He will me trust that he will what? He will yet deliver. Hallelujah. His deliverance is perfect. If he could kill you, he would have done it. He can't. One night like that, I woke up inside one dream, had accident 3 times in one day. And then when I woke up, I heard the voice, don't go out today. So you won't have accident. That's how bondage comes. And some of you don't know better. I say, that must be the voice of God. No, it's the voice of the devil. I said, if I was not going out before, now I will go out. I must look for somewhere to go today. Do you know on the road 3 different times? The last one I parked as I left. Because the last one was so ridiculous. On Adeniran Ogunsanya, a vehicle reversed from their compound on the main road to come and meet me. I just swapped. I just parked. I just started laughing. You are a bastard. If you stay home for 2 weeks, you may not go out. Fear like a camel will just settle on you. And that's how it comes. That's what you guys do. We're not ignorant of his what? Devices. Hallelujah. We have authority. We have mastery. Matthew 8, before we go. You looked at that Matthew 8, from verse 5. Look at what the man said, the centurion, from verse 5. When Jesus was entering the Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion besieging him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy. What? Grievously tormented. So, where's the servant at home? What's the condition? Grievously sick, tormented. Okay, he's sick of the palsy, he's tormented. Palsy is crippling paralysis. That's what palsy is, crippling paralysis. So he says, it's at home. So the servant is not here, but I brought words to convey the servant's situation to Jesus. So the transaction that's about to take place is going to take place using words. For you to see the efficacy of words. So I'm going to use words to communicate the condition of the servant to you. So the man came to Jesus saying that, he says, say, Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. And Satan said, Lord, I'm not worried that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only. The same way I spoke the word to you now. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Why? Look at next verse. He says, for I am a man under authority. So, having soldiers under me, and I say, so how do I exercise the authority that I'm under? I say. Are you also under authority? Yes. Are you in authority? Yes. Are you in Christ? Yes. Are you complete in him? Yes. How do you exercise? I say. What I say matters. Both consciously and unconsciously, it matters. Because by saying certain wrong things, I may build a wrong consciousness also. So I'm careful about what I say, knowing by saying, I either express authority or I embrace fear. I do both by saying. And a lot of us still don't understand what spiritual warfare is. A thought just came. You are not married. And just says, you never have a husband. And you're just thinking, how am I thinking like that? Who told you you are the one thinking it? A spirit is speaking. And you never answer a thought with a thought. You answer a thought with words. You must say quickly in response. Why do you think I lead us in conversation and say, I'll be alive in the next 10 years. I'll be here in the next 20 years. I'll be doing well in the next 30 years. I'm telling you, I'm not about to die in the next 40 years. I'll still be here. Hallelujah. Champion because of the gospel. I won't be leaning on the stick. I'll be walking around road erect on my two legs. Nobody will carry me. I'll be walking. I'll be sound in my body, sound in my mind. Why are you saying that? The authority of the power backing you up is enough to say those things. I'm drawing from an account. An account that can back up everything I've said without fail. Glory to God. Before you make a purchase, you look at what you have in your account to know whether to cover for it. You can't want to make a purchase of 30,000. The only time when you are doubting is if it's less than 15,000 in your account. 15. When you purchase of 30,000, when you have 250, it's like you already know you have more than enough to cover it. So you are not afraid. Just send. I'll send the money to you. Why are you saying they should send it? Because you know you have what is in your account. So whatever we are seeing with the authority is because of, there's something backing us up. And that's the authority of the power that's in Christ Jesus. It's backing us up. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I say to this one, go and he goes. Don't come and he comments. See, what was this? You are a man set under authority. Demons are under you. If you say to this demon, goes. And Jesus looked at the man and marveled. I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And Jesus spoke. And at that same hour. In fact, look at what Jesus said. That's what I want to see. What Jesus said. When Jesus heard the marvel and said to them, I've not seen found so great, no, not in Israel. Look at next verse. I say unto you that many shall come from east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into the darkness. They shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus said unto them, go thy way. And as thou hast what? Believed, so be it done unto thee. And the servant was what? Healed the self same hour. So the question I want to ask is this. When did Jesus command the affliction to go? When exactly did Jesus do that? When? Because did the man ever hear Jesus say those things? Jesus just used the words of the man to exercise the authority. You believe I'm set over them? Then go your way now. That's taking place already. As you are seeing it now, and I'm affirming it now, whatever spirit was troubling him has gone. Because that spirit has hurt me. Do you know that's our heritage? You didn't hear me. You know that was our heritage in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ? See, that's my heritage. See, that's my heritage. When I speak also, demons listen and they obey because I'm seated with him in the heavens. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, we'll stop here tonight. Amen.